Okay, I'm gonna start recording.
Okay, everyone lock in. We are being recorded.
Don't worry, I can edit stuff out. Sorry that like your deep dive started right when like you were supposed to have an hour to
It's
watch.
totally fine. Not even worried about it. You know, they messed up the scheduling time. That's not us. All right. We planned this. Honestly, you were on my calendar before Taryn was. All right.
My
So
God, that's an honor.
yeah, you were the priority there. So no worries at all.
Thank you so much. This is like genuinely very kind of you. I've been doing this podcasting for like 2 years and I just like, networking or whatever.
Yeah, this is gonna be great. I'm really excited, and I think that's 2 years. I can't wait to see how that translates to you, like leading this conversation. It's gonna be awesome.
Thank you. I do have a journalism background. I was on all of my collegiate papers.
Oh, heck yeah. So
Although,
I never had a doubt beforehand, but that just reaffirms all the confidence I had.
the only time I interview people now is when they're adopting my foster kittens. I have to do like screening interviews.
Oh my
So
goodness.
it's weird. I'm like, I feel like I should ask you about how you would take care of a cat, but that's literally not relevant at all.
I don't think I would be a good cat dad. I feel like I don't think I have that dog in me. How are Quinn, Leah, and Vito doing? All
They're
right.
great. I also have Janky. There's
Oh,
four.
and Yankee. Sorry. I
No,
never
you're
got to
fine.
meet Yankee, so that's, you know, translates to real life too,
Yeah,
apparently.
they're doing well. They're around here somewhere. But I have six cats in my house because I have four kittens and I have two cats of my own. So there's a lot of background noise sometimes. But anyways, because this is a TV podcast, I kind of want to know like what kind of TV you watch. So I'm gonna ask like your history of like how you got into Big Brother as like a fan, and then like what other shows do you watch? So like when did you start watching Big Brother? Like what was the first season you watched and how did you hear about it?
The first season I watched was Big Brother 11, and my like understanding of the show was that it was Survivor during the summertime. And then my family, we always watch Survivor. My brother's really into it. And so Big Brother kind of became my thing, where it's like, okay, he'll get on Survivor someday and then I'll get on Big Brother, just because Big Brother is the much more obnoxious, loud, ridiculous version of Survivor, I feel like. And so that's kind of what opened the door for me there. Big Brother 12 is when I fell in love with the show. The Brigade, I love the idea of having a group of friends, you know, your gang, your boys, and you're just going through like all these like turbulent situations. I always thought that was really neat. And then Brittany is such a legend in the diary room. I feel like that really taught me this sense of like, it's okay to be, you don't have to take yourself too seriously. You can be very funny, you know, and make fun of yourself. That's okay. And I feel like she was a very positive, like role model in that way.
When did you start watching feeds? This like the same time or later
I started watching like the live feed update for Big Brother 23. I was very intrigued with the idea of like, what's it called? I'm the worst fan ever. Oh, the
cookout?
cookout. Yeah, sorry, I woke up
You're
like an
fine.
hour or 20 minutes ago. My sleep schedule's ruined. But yeah,
You're
so I was
fine.
very
Mine
intrigued.
is too.
Yeah. We are so strong for being here right now. Good. Go us. We're killing it.
I almost canceled because my cat like woke me up vomiting and I was like I had a mental breakdown and then I was like no I need to persevere. She's
Like,
okay.
I can't do this. Oh my gosh. I hope your
I'm
cat's
sorry.
okay. No,
I
as
shouldn't
long
have
as
mentioned
it
that.
wasn't
She's fine though.
Vito or Janky, you know, as long as it wasn't them, I
No,
can.
they're doing great. They've got so much energy. Whoever
Anyone
adopts
who's
them is
seeing
getting
this,
so lucky.
make sure you reach out and adopt, okay? You want a beautiful cat of your own? Hit up Emmy, all right?
They're not ready for adoption yet, but they will be soon. They have to
When
be.
they're ready, all right, is what I meant to say. When they're ready to be adopted, oh
This
my
is
God,
Vito.
I'm obsessed. I've always wanted a black cat. I was very close to adopting a black cat, and then I got in a car accident and was like, I can't bring a cat into this world, not with these financial turmoil like brewing.
That's very valid.
Yeah, I
For me,
just.
it's the opposite. My cat has an emergency, and then I'm like, well, I can't fix my car because I really need to take my cat to the vet.
Priorities, and I love that for you. But yeah, I started watching the live feed updates with like Rob has a podcast with Big Brother 23. Oh no, I mean I tried to get into the live feeds like after that, but then it was just the sake of like the timing never made sense. And then I have very bad like ADHD, and so paying attention during the live feeds was pretty impossible. I tuned in pretty early on for Big Brother 25, just because that was such like a wild circus, especially at the start. Like everyone was cooking immediately, which I loved. And yeah, that's kind of my relationship with the live feeds. Most of my understanding of the show is through the lens of Taryn Armstrong and Rob Has a Podcast, though. So I want to make that abundantly clear.
That's good to know. You know, you have to be honest. Well, are you interested in like watching the feeds for the next season, or do you think that like it'll be weird now that you've been on the show? Like, how do you think your relationship as a fan is going to be now that you've been on the show? Like, do you think it'll be harder to watch, more interesting?
I know some house guests have kind of opened up about like the trauma and they're like watching it and stuff like that. And I think that's certainly valid. Just judging on how I currently feel, I'm super excited for Big Brother 27. From here on out, I can't wait to watch the show, because in my head, I'll be able to say, these are my future friends and I can't wait to meet them. And so I want to be very knowledgeable when I get to know them. So I definitely, especially I want to, you know, start my own like podcast or, you know, Twitch stream broadcast thing. And so if I'm going to cover the show, I want to make sure that I'm doing my like due diligence to like provide a lot of accurate information through my understanding versus regurgitating someone else's observations. So I think that this is only going to like toss a lighter fluid on the flame of my love for the show. I'm really excited to cheer people on next season. I'm going to make a point to uplift the super fan from start to finish. All right. I'm not going to wait until we're up and, you know, to start uplifting people. I want to be that supportive person for everyone, but you know, specifically the super fans, because I know I got dunked on by a lot of people this season. So I'm going to be like,
I rode hard for you, Quinn. I literally got into a fight with my sister when Cedric went home, because I was like, no, you don't understand. Quinn's upset too. Stop being so hard on him. We fought everything. It was like a real life fight where we like took a few hours and then we were like, why are we fighting over a show? It's fine.
I appreciate you stepping up for me there. That's really sweet.
Yeah, I try really hard when I talk about reality TV to be very like cognizant of the fact that it's like real people that you're talking about and not just like storylines on a show. I get judgmental sometimes, but not that much on Big Brother.
And that's certainly valid. You know, like
there are some reality TV stars that like I would fight them if I saw them in person. Yeah. But was, not really Big Brother.
I have that experience now. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, I will say like in terms of my approach to enjoying media, period, like my letterbox got leaked. Or well, I think I shared it, but like I just enjoy things. I try not to see the negative side of things, and I can be very like I took film classes in high school and stuff like that. Like I know how to deconstruct things, but that's not really my interest. And so I think that as a fan next year and like previous, I'm going to be very uplifting, call out the people who say things that are problematic. But if people are just living their lives in the game and they're being messy, I want to make a point to be very, very sweet.
As you should. That resonates with me. I feel really bad. Sometimes I'm like, this sounds mean, but this person is being stupid. And then I'm like, no, I don't mean they're stupid, but this was a stupid decision. Like I try really hard not to be mean in my podcasting. So that does really resonate. Sometimes I fall flat, but you know what? Everybody's human.
You have the green light. You can be as toxic as you want. All right.
I try not to. I view things with at the end of the day, it's like these people are strangers to me. Like it has no bearing on my life. It's just a TV show. Like some people get a little bit too intense. Like oh, yeah. The season's over. I don't care anymore. Yeah. I mean, I do care.
He's like, falling off. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it's like,
no, I'm kidding.
I think that there is like certainly a balance. And I think that a lot of people are more talented at being able to be funny and like highlight how dumb people are being. You know, I was very cognizant of my messy gameplay from like day two, where I'm like looking at the cameras and I'm like, I know I'm doing a bad job, but what
are
you
really? I was very biased with you. I never called you stupid. It was mostly like Mackenzie. I was like, what is she doing?
Oh my goodness. I appreciate that.
I was like, I was, I, you know why? It's because I feel like some players, I understand their thought process, and it's easier for me to be like, it was a bad move, but I understood where they were coming from. Like when, like people were really mad at you when you were like leaking stuff to like T-Core and Chemo, but I was like, that makes sense to me. Like it, and I also like, I don't know. It was like, I feel like you kind of got into like some positions where it's like, well, he didn't tell people he had the power, and then that caused him trouble. But then he did try to tell people things, and that, like, I feel like a lot of the things that people were hot on you for, it's like the outcome was bad, but if it had gone a different way, then it wouldn't have like seemed like that stupid. It's like easy in hindsight to be like, well, yeah, that blew up the Pentagon, but like, who is to say if T-Core and Chemo received that a different way and thought that you were like trying to build, like I think it's easy as an outsider to be like, that was stupid because we knew know how it played out. But like I try to understand where people are coming from and be like, well, if it had played out a little bit differently, it would have been smart.
Yes, and I really appreciate that. I really felt like I was building this like bigger move that people would be excited about. I was like very proud of myself that I got into a majority alliance, and then I was very proud of myself that I got invited to that core group. But I was also like, naturally, I am closer friends with Chemo and T-Core. Like we can leverage this if I tell them now, because I did pin like. I did identify that they were like more sentimental players, like emotional. And so my theory was, if I reveal this in 3 weeks that like this is what's been going on, they're gonna be like really like they're not gonna trust me. And so my thinking was, logically, me coming to them with this information, they are gonna be so hyped that I am on their side, and we're gonna take this house down together. And it blew up in my face, which is like, what can you do? A lot. I blew up other people's games. Cedric's game got cut short. He volunteered for the block. That's crazy.
No, I know that, like, it also that it's also like with the three nominees, you kind of got screwed over a little bit. And the veto was used every week, like, people were having to nominate like four people every week. Like, you made mistakes as HOH, but it's also like a lot of circumstantial things. If you were playing a regular season, like, without all the twists, I think you would have like been in a much better spot. Like, you got
It would
really
have been.
screwed over by the AI arena and the three nominees and everything.
I think so too. Like, Tucker is such a dangerous player, and he felt emboldened to act more recklessly, which ended up being at my expense. I think that if we don't have the AI arena, I think that he plays a little bit more reserved, and then I'm not at risk. And also, if he does poke the bear, we have the numbers to send him home and backdoor him. Same with like Mackenzie. I'm thankful for the way the season panned out, because it was apparently such a good season, and I'm happy to be a part of it. And we got awesome characters like Tucker, where he got to be his whole self, and people got to witness that. And so I think that he is a good role model for people. And so I'm hoping that people, like, to me, the it outweighs it. And my point was just like, I can't be too mad at Chemo acting like, selling me out to Tucker. And I can't be too mad at Tucker for like not trusting me in the underdogs and wanting to work with Cedric. Like, I can't be mad at that, because I simultaneously blew up Cedric's game. I blew up Brooklyn's game. I blew up like a million and one people's games. So I can't be like this arbiter of truth and honesty where I'm like, man, my game would have been so much better if people were logical. Like, it makes no logical sense for
Yeah.
me to work against the majority alliance core group. Like, and so even though I'm disappointed with like I had the pieces of a very big move, I'm disappointed that it fell apart, but I'm also aware of a lot of this was self-imposed. I could have just been a little bit more, excuse me, a little bit more honest, and then my game doesn't get blown up in such a extreme way.
I wasn't even going to talk about your season. I didn't want to bother you about
Oh,
that.
okay.
You just talked about it for 5 hours. So you mentioned Survivor. How old were you when you started watching Survivor? Was that like
Like,
the first reality show that you watched?
I that definitely has to be the first reality show that I watched. I don't even know how old I would have been, like 2000. I remember watching it when I lived in Germany, so at least like elementary school,
Was
like
it like
school.
dubbed or was it like?
No, it's like we had American channels and stuff like that, and
Oh.
so yeah, like
I lived abroad for 2 years, but I guess the only thing I watched was like Disney shows and everything was dubbed. It was miserable for me. I was like,
okay,
I don't
no.
speak Portuguese. It was so annoying. Anyway, sorry.
That's so real. I think that I'm trying to think the earliest seasons, like Ozzy, I was a huge fan. Eric Reichenbach, I remember Bob with the bow tie. I remember like Russell, like all of these like earlier players, I would say, like pre-Heroes versus Villains is when I got into it for sure. I don't know the exact start date for me. A lot of the Survivor seasons melt together. Like as a kid, I had like existential dread where I was like, what are they going to do when they run out of islands to go to? Like there's a limited number of places you can film. And so I was so worried, like, and in my head, there's no way that they can repeat islands. So I'm like, they're going to run out. The show's going to
They'll
end.
have to start making new islands.
I know. I was like, we need to get to work. Start building land, please. They're Survivor 89. They're on Trash Island. Like, please.
Oh. I've actually never seen Survivor.
It's pretty decent. It's all right. I just named a bunch of people that you're like, no clue who that is. But it's pretty
I know
early
who
on.
Ciri is. I know the people who are then on the Traitors because I have seen the Traitors. Like I know Sandra, I know Parvati. But I don't. I started Big Brother during Big Brother 18.
Okay, nice. Are
I don't
you
know
a big
why I kept watching. It wasn't that good of a season. I'm like, of all the seasons I started with, why did I keep watching?
Thanks for sticking it out,
It's gotten better. It's gotten.
I feel like 18 is decent. Like Paul is
It is. I feel like
exciting.
19 was a worse viewing experience.
19 is crazy. Just
Like
straight up
I
my way.
don't know, like I saw 19 and then I was like let me stick with this. But anyways, what other shows do you watch? I know that you've said that you like listen to like the Fear and podcast and like, but do you watch like other TV or are you like more of a movies guy?
I am more of a movies guy. Like in terms of like I watch a lot of YouTube. I feel like for people in like our age group, I feel like we're in the same age. How old are you?
I'm 25, yeah.
Okay, yeah. I was gonna say I'm pretty sure like you have like a cool job and everything too. So I'm like I'm pretty certain that we're the same age. So like I feel like a lot of us are watching YouTube. I watch a lot of Hassan Piker. Fear And is my favorite podcast. One of the most shocking things getting out of the show was finding out that Cody Ko was canceled. I watched his like insanely chill podcast, not even like Tiny Meat Gang. I watched like insanely chill. He got me back into running. Like once I got in the corporate like world, I stopped running and then I watched his podcast and got back into it. And so my shock when I get out of the house and he's like problematic now, which sucks. And so unsubscribing from those channels certainly sucked. In
I
terms of
forgot that happened. That was like so long ago at this point. He's kind of disappeared. I don't think he's made a comeback.
No. And so I was just like, man, I can't wait to catch up on all this media. And then it's happening like, oh my gosh. I watched like Ludwig. PAQ is a fashion channel that ended like 5 years ago that is really good. And people should check out their content. In terms of like TV shows, Traitors, Survivor, Big Brother is number one, of course. New Girl, Community. The like Stranger Things, like very basic in
How do you
terms of
feel about Stranger Things, like the fact that they're all like all old now and they're playing teenagers still?
they're like 85. It's like put the Reeboks away. Let's just move on. Okay, like
They should have done some kind of time jump. Even Riverdale did a time jump.
yeah, it's not that crazy to just be like, hey, like in it, like in like the second half or it too, like they come back as adults. It's not that crazy to be like, hey, we stopped this issue when we were in middle school and high school, like whatever, elementary school at the rip, but then it, or I guess it was middle school. And then they could have just flash forwarded to them being in college, being like, hey, we came back and more Stranger Things are happening. That's crazy. Instead, we have like a 95-year-old like Gaten pretending like he's 16. Brother, come on.
It doesn't make any sense. I never got into Stranger Things. I was telling my sister the other day, I was like, I had the foresight. I knew that it was going to just drag on and they were still going to be in high school at like 30 years old. I was like, I had a sixth sense.
I love that for you. I didn't start watching it until like straight up season 4 came out and finished. And then my friends were like, this is a really good show. You should tune in. So I'm like, 4 seasons, like, I guess I can clock in. And then it's like pretty good. It's all right. It's fine.
Have you ever seen Yellow Jackets?
I have not, but I need to check it out. I remember you sending me that recommendation. I'll clock
in. It's my favorite show of all time. Although it is about cannibalism. So if that freaks you out, then watch with caution. I didn't start it right away because cannibalism used to really freak me out. Not that I'm like pro cannibalism.
You're into it now. Yeah.
Love it. Love it. No,
cannibalism era.
I watched an episode of Bones when I was like in high school and they accidentally like in a cafeteria ate like human remains. And after that, I was like, cannibalism freaks me out. I hate this. But, you know, they're in a survival, like they don't eat each other because they just want to. They're all dying. It's different.
Okay. I guess that's, you get the green light in the apocalypse. That's fair.
Anyways, you don't have to watch it. It's just my favorite show, so I want to ask. I do have kind of, have you ever seen Teen Beach Movie?
Teen Beach Movie, is that with Ross Lynch?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that movie is gas.
If you had to like Teen Beach Movie yourself into some kind of movie or TV, like fictional world, what would it be? Because they end up in a movie. That's like the plot of it.
Gosh. That is a great question. This is a great question. Oh my God. I'm going to have a flop answer.
I was thinking
Wallace and Gromit. I don't know why that's where I went first. Like the were-rabbit, I want to help solve that problem. I feel like the live action Percy Jackson movie, maybe that would be cool. To get to
like
hang
the,
out.
Like the movie or the TV show that they've like, have you seen the TV show?
I've seen the TV show. As a 26-year-old, I feel a little bit weird because those are like actual kids. In the movie, they're like 24 pretending to be 14. So I would feel comfortable hanging out with them just for the like Lady Gaga scene in the casino. Like I feel like
that's... Yeah, people were so mad when the casino scene wasn't the same as the movie. People were like, there's no like, Lady
that
Gaga
was the one thing song. I got right.
Everybody was so mad about that. But like he hated the movie. He wasn't gonna like recreate it at all. I don't even think he's seen it, like the author.
Rick Riordan, shout out to him. I feel like any super or no, I want to be in Sky High. That's what I want to do. I know that I just said that like I didn't want to hang out with kids, but I think that
they're
I would
also like 20-year-olds playing.
Yeah, I want to be in the high school in Sky High, and I hope I make it to the hero program. That's my answer.
That's a great answer. What would your superhero be? Like, what would your superpower be?
I would hope something with, like, electricity or ice powers or something like that. I think that would be pretty neat. I feel like I have a lot of creative application for that. Realistically, it's something lame, though, where it's like his hair can move with his mind. That would be my luck. But
you get to control it. You're putting yourself into this movie. You get to change the plot.
I straight up. Yeah, I want to be Iceman. That's my goal. Or Nightcrawler. That'd be sick. Yeah, I want to teleport. I think that'd be sick.
Have you ever seen The Bachelor franchise?
The only season of The Bachelor that I have seen is the one with the like really short evil guy.
I don't know what you mean. With
Pilot Pete, and it's like, oh my God. And then the really handsome guy, Tyler, and he's like...
Oh, Hannah Brown season.
Yes, yes.
That was a great season. When she was like, I had sex and Jesus still loves me. Mic drop. Icon moment. That was like the peak of the Bachelor franchise. Everything kind of... It's getting a little bit better now, but it went downhill for a little bit.
Oh, man.
It's getting better, though. Now they have old people. They have a golden bachelor.
And America has a podcast yeah. about it. And so if you think I'm not going to tune in now that I have someone to talk about the tea, I'm sold. You know, America Lopez, I'm here to support and uplift her by any means necessary. And if that means watching The Bachelor, I'm in.
The Bachelor is actually really good. It's 2 hours a week. That's like the only, but I guess if you watch Big Brother, that's like fine.
Yeah. I watch the show 3 times a week with live feed updates every single day.
Who's your favorite person from Rob has a podcast?
I think that Chappelle is definitely my favorite, and it's not even close. I think that he is so hilarious, and he very rarely even gets to talk about Big Brother, or at least not enough. I will watch the Survivor stuff just to hear him talk about it. Like, I love his opinions. I think he's so funny. He's the best.
When they did the Traitors, like the Rob has a podcast Traitors, I don't know if you watched that. I was he ate. I'm a stan now. I was like, I am a stan now. If I wasn't before, I'm a stan now. He slayed.
He's so good. I was so happy for him. He was like perpetually stressed. He was like, I do not want to do this. And I was so happy that he got the chance to like show that he's about it. Cause a lot of people online who have opinions, they would flop in most like social game situations. But I just know watching him that he would be wonderful in any show that he's on. So yeah, he's definitely one of my faves. I was introduced to Kevin Jacobs through Rob Has a Podcast, and I really value his opinion.
Have you seen his season?
Not yet. And that's like my fault because I don't know how to download a VPN. It's like very stressful to me. And
honestly,
that's
so real. VPNs freak me out.
It's hard. It's hard. But yeah, I really like that guy as a person. I haven't even seen him play, which is hilarious. But yeah, Chappelle is my number one. That's my guy.
If you could change anything about your game, like what would it be? Or do you like not have any regrets?
I think that the biggest regret in my game would be telling Chemo about my power. I think that as a direct result, that undid a lot of the work that I had been doing across the house. But in terms of like greater reflection, I think that I would have followed up better with people. Something that I struggle with is like keeping up with people because I don't want to be a burden. I don't want to annoy them. I felt like, if I'm sitting with someone for way too long, they probably don't want to talk to me. Like that was something that I always had bouncing in my head. And I think that like a result of that is I would start these strategic relationships and like personally, we would get along very well, but then I wouldn't do the work to like keep it up. And so I think that if I were to replay season 26, I would just be much better at like watering those flowers and keeping the relationship strong just because, you know, I feel like a lot of things slipped through my fingers, but in terms of like a immediate thing, I wouldn't have told Chemo about my power.
That's fair. I do think a lot went downhill after that, but I do have to say that's sad to hear that you're like, that you feel like a burden and that you don't want to bother people because I feel like your greatest strength throughout the season was your ability to connect with people. Like they really liked you. Like they all had good, even when Angela was mad at you, she was like, I can't be that mad at him. He's like they all, I don't think of like any of the people on the cast. I can think of one person who like more consistently people came away from conversations with you, like feeling good about you and really valuing it as a person. Like I don't think anybody was ever like annoyed with you.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
I mean, it was always like game level. Like they were like, he's a schemer, but it was never like at all personal about like your character or anything. Like even other people would like get annoyed at each other about other things. I didn't watch like 24/7 because I do also have a job, but from everything I gathered, like people really didn't like, which is why it bothered me more when people were on Twitter being like, Quinn's so annoying. I'm like, they like him in the house. Shut up. Right after they nominated you, Mackenzie was like, we shouldn't have done that. I love Quinn so much. Maybe we shouldn't have like done that. Like constantly, even when, and I think if Chelsea wasn't such a good player, I feel like she wouldn't have gone through with it just because of like how much they actually cared for you as a person. Like Chelsea was really beating herself up because she was like, I love Quinn. Like, why am I doing this? But then she was like, it makes sense strategically. And it did. Like it was smart for her in the long run.
And yeah, it definitely paid off for her, especially because like I probably am loyal to her the next week, but after that, knowing that Leah and I were up for discussion, and we would have weakened the like power three, I would have definitely probably taken a shot. Yeah, I feel very fortunate with my cast. I think that even though I did have those feelings of being, you know, annoying and maybe people don't like me that much, I think that I got very lucky to have people who were so kind and patient. Like even Mackenzie and I, McQuinzie, we were late to the party, but even her, I was able to build like a really, in my opinion, a really good relationship on a personal level. And so like we started off where it was very easy for us to just target each other because she said my name and then I put her up. So it's like we have the perfect reason to not get along. And then the second we took the time to get to know each other, we're friends. And I would say we're besties now. Like, I think that even my worst relationships were okay, you know, but that was something, an insecurity that I felt throughout the whole season was just like, I'm not able to connect with people like Chemo. I don't have the wisdom that Rubina has. Like, I just, you know, I don't have the interesting stories that Leah tells, like things like that. I'm not as funny as Leah, like stuff like that, where I'm just like, man, I feel like a bit of like weak sauce. I felt like I was surrounded by professionals, which was always very insecuring, but a very uplifting process at the end of the day, because everyone's so sweet.
That's great to hear. If you had to choose another like show to go on, would it be like Survivor? Would it be The Traitors? Like, what is your dream next show that you would go on?
I think that I will do anything to get on Big Brother again. That will always be my number one. I would love to be on Survivor just because I think that like success rate across all the shows, I think that other than Big Brother, Survivor is the one where like my skills would work for me. I think The Traitors, my strategy is to just choose who the biggest high profile reality person is. So I don't know how good I would be at investigative like tactics and figuring out who the traitor is. I would love to wear the outfits. I've been watching.
Would you want to be a traitor or a faithful?
I would want to be a traitor. Oh my gosh. It sounds so exhausting trying to figure out who people. No, I don't. Especially because it's not like they leave clues. Like, you just have to be able to vibe and read off of people. And I'd just be like, I think that they're a traitor. But also, I fall in love with people so quickly that it would even be like, they might be a traitor, but who cares? Let's all hang out. Like, I think that I've been watching The Summit. If being on The Summit wouldn't hurt my chances of getting on other shows, and I don't know if that's true, I would totally do The Summit.
Why do you think it would hurt your chances of being on other shows?
I don't know, maybe like oversaturation, like being on too many shows or something. But I'm watching that and it feels doable. You're walking up an incline and then like sometimes you climb ladders. That feels doable for me. I think that I would be great. I would love to wear all the winter gear and stuff like that. Like that's a show I would totally want to go on, especially because I don't know if you've seen The Summit at all.
I haven't. I had to watch that ad so many times for voting that I was like, that made me not want to watch the show. It was like, screw you, I'm not. Because you only had 5 votes. Like normally it's like 10, and then if you want extra, but like you got 5 votes and then you had to watch an ad to get 5 more votes. For AFP, I was like, this is so annoying. I could probably recite that ad by memory.
That's crazy. Well, you should know Theron from that season is delightful. Patty is very nice. And then that guy, Dennis, who's going to ruin people's lives. He's really nice. He was like so sweet to me. It was crazy. So just judging off of those guys, I would totally want to be on The Summit. With Matt specifically. I'm not going on the Summit unless Matt Hardiman is with me. Quat, we are running the table. I need to text him that we need to apply together, but those are my demands, CBS. I'll go on the Summit if you let Matt join me.
He was so funny on TikTok after the season. Everybody was like, your 15 minutes is up. Like, everybody, I'm like, why are you commenting? That brings you back to the algorithm. People are so
Let
tired.
him live. Dude, I was in the house like talking to MJ and I was like, I hope that Matt is tuning in every week and is on Instagram live getting his money. Smash cut to him doing literally that. And I'm like, yes, yes, Matt, get your money up, brother. Oh my gosh.
When the cat made an appearance.
Oh my gosh, what a sweet little baby. So cute.
They're all just around here somewhere, and periodically they jump on my lap, but
so nice and sweet. Oh my goodness.
I know. I love her so much. But sorry I named one of the girls after you. I really wanted to name one of the guys Janky.
That's totally fine. I think Quinn is a gender neutral name anyway. So, and I have no ties to masculinity. So we're fine.
Everybody on TikTok was like, why didn't you name one of the cats Angela? I was like, because I didn't want to. Hello, I'm adding this in during editing. My Zoom call with Quinn ended very abruptly because I do not pay for Zoom. And then we started a new Zoom call, and I very stupidly forgot to record the first 10 minutes. But the only thing we talked about was I asked him about his reaction about the presidential race. And then I brought up the fact that Matt, when he found out about the assassination attempt, brought it back to his beef with Angela. So that's all we talked about in those 10 minutes. That was really a value and what I'm referencing in this at the beginning of this clip. Sorry about the inconvenience. Peace and love. Thanks for tuning in. Recording this.
Oh no!
I recorded the other one, but anyways, we're just having a conversation.
Yeah, did I say anything interesting while within the last 10 minutes?
I don't know. I think it's fine.
Okay.
I don't even remember. I guess I asked you about the president, but that's not that important.
Yeah, we're good. Oh yeah, Matt circling back. That's hilarious. That's my summit final too. That's my brother in arms. Okay, my reality TV sugar blossom. Okay, Quat lives on. What an iconic human being. Of course, he would be the one to circle back an assassination attempt to Big Brother. That's awesome. Good for the show.
It was really funny when it happened. And then Lisa got told that Kamala was the new nominee, and she was like, yay, girl power. That was so wholesome of her too. Everybody was very wholesome finding out about the presidential news. Which is good. I feel like if that happened to me, I'd be like, what the fuck? Like, I would freak out. They would have to cut the cameras. Not like happy, but I'd be like, what? Like, I would have such a, I'd be like, oh my God, the world is going, I would like have such,
what do we do?
Yeah, I would have such a big reaction to that. But especially because this was my first year voting, because I only became a citizen last year. So I'd be like, oh my God, what do I do now?
What are we doing to help this remedy this situation? This is scary. And they're like, no, it's honestly, it's chill. You're like, I don't know. What's happening?
How, when you got the veto used on you, like when Tucker used the veto on you, what were you thinking? Were you surprised? Were you like, did you think you were like, what point in the game? Like, were there a few moments where you were like, I'm going home for sure. And then like you pulled through, or did you always have faith in yourself?
I do have high levels of like self-efficacy. Like, I will always bet on myself. But there were times where I was like looking like the black void into the eye, and I'm like, I am so screwed. But when Tucker used the veto on me, I blew it. That week beforehand, I told Brooklyn, like, bro, he's telling me that you're the target. Like, so dumb. But I thought her and I were like this, and like, she's just a great player. Like, that's one of the few times where like I really genuinely got tricked. And it was built on like an emotional conversation. We were both disappointed with our situation. We felt like we were playing a social strategy game in a game that was currently prioritizing comp beasts. So we felt some certain type of way. We both had frustrations that the guy who's going to send us home wanted to quit a million and one times.
Yeah.
That's like really hard to deal with, especially for the two of us where we were super fans. And it took her several years to get onto the show. She was actually almost on the summit, funny enough. And which, you know, all things go back to the summit, greatest show on reality TV. That's what I'm hearing. And it's just like, we were both frustrated with the circumstances. And I thought that by telling her, well, he's telling me that you're a target, maybe that buys me a little bit of goodwill. If the veto isn't used, one of us needs to win the like AI arena. And Brooklyn and I are like pretty good competitors. We're going against Cam in this situation, who is a very athletic person and is very intelligent. He just didn't have like the rap sheet to support, like, you know, concern. And so my theory was, I'm at the bottom of the Pentagon, but if Brooklyn wins the AI arena and I told her that she was the target, like, maybe vaguely she'll consider keeping me over Cam. Like, I hope so. But I just, that's like me, a deep three Hail Mary on the like back of an emotional conversation. And so I, after messing that up and it got back to Tucker, I had zero expectations he was going to use the veto on me. I didn't even believe he was going to do it to begin with. Like, he told me before the wall comp that if I throw it, I'm safe. But he told the same thing to Cam. Like, why would I believe this guy? He's such a wild card. I'm not going to put the faith of my game in his reliable narration skills. Like, no, sure, no shot. And so when he did use it on me in the episode, this speech he gives is cut together in a way that is very cool. And he is a good speaker, but he is a yapper, much like myself. And so he's like, I gave one of you the opportunity for safety in the game and you threw it back in my face. And so I've decided to use the veto on you, Quinn. And I'm like, that makes no sense. Yeah, you just said I threw it back in your face, but now you're using it on me. It was certainly wild. My speech was like, you know, funny. I felt like everything I was doing was trying to show that I have a good sense of humor so that then people would, you know, keep me around. And it paid off, but it made no sense for Tucker's game, like, other than the fact that he wanted Brooklyn to go home. I felt like he should have been way more upset with Chelsea than he was ever upset with me. Our conversation prior to that outside, like up in the like balcony area, it was so frustrating because I was like, dude, I don't know if this makes a difference to you, but I was trying to flip on this majority alliance. He did not care. And I was like, why doesn't that matter to you? Like, I was trying to actually play the game and then you acted outlandishly in week three. Like, that's not my fault. I'm reacting to your actions. He did not care. Which was like deeply frustrating to me because it was like, he knew that he could just win competitions and win the AI arena. So like socially and strategically, I offered him no value. So after that conversation, I felt terrible. I was like, I can provide him with nothing in his eyes, even though I feel like in a normal season, he should latch onto me like a life raft because I've got skills to like get us through this. I also didn't trust him. He didn't trust me. We both, like, it was the perfect recipe for him to not use the veto. And so then when he did it and I was wearing this hoodie, I'm like, this guy sucks at the game. What an idiot. Oh my gosh. Wow, dude. Good decision-making skills, brother. It was so shocking, genuinely.
Yeah, I feel like Tucker just wanted to do things that were interesting. Like, I feel like he was playing it to like as a TV show versus thinking of it as a game. He's like, let me do the craziest thing. So this is a fun week, which was like great TV, like very entertaining. But like from a game perspective, it was very confusing all the time of like what Tucker was doing. Fun to watch.
When he won the veto, and I like asked him, I was like, I feel like you're the only person in Big Brother history I have to ask this question. Are you going to use a veto on yourself? And he goes, no. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to choose to believe that truth because why would you lie about that? And then he uses the veto as a gotcha. And I'm like, this doesn't mean anything. He is so iconic. I love what he provided for our season. He's great. I'm obsessed with him. He's awesome. I wish we could have worked together, but that's my only complaint. I wish it was he and I versus the world instead of him against me.
How was your, like, you and Joseph? Like, what was that alliance like? How early on did you know you wanted to work with Joseph? I know you guys both like lied to each other multiple times, but like, and obviously he went home when you're HOH,
I know.
but.
Oh my gosh. I love Joseph. Joseph is one of my favorite people from the season. He's my second favorite final two. I'll break out the jury book, like journal, and show we've got this in writing. All right. This is Quinn peak craziness. I knew off the rip that I really liked him because when we would talk about the game, first of all, he was obviously a super fan lying. Like that was the most transparent thing I've ever seen in my life. And he would make me like explain things like America's player from season 8. And I'm just like, you're gonna really make me do this. This is kind of an abstract concept to explain. And oh, okay, sure. But like I liked him as a person. And when we would talk about the show, it would always center around him saying stuff like, guys like us don't make it far in the game, you know, small, not super athletic presenting, you know, we're a bit socially awkward. And while I like appreciated it, I did agree. I was like, yeah, that's true. In a normal season, like we're not getting the invite to the majority alliance. I feel like I leaked to everyone my mile time, hoping that that would put some respect on my name athletically. And then it like, I don't know if that's why I got invited, but here's my official final two rankings here. No doubt with Joseph, for Quinn Stefani. And so every conversation I had with him, I really liked him. I knew he was a super fan. His mustache made him look like a liar. And so to me, I loved working with him. I was super interested. I think we formed an alliance on we solidified our final two the day before the veto got used on Angela. So like early days,
Time.
yeah. And like we, you know, we never fully trusted each other, but we were both aware that maybe we should work together. And so I don't know, it's this very cute dynamic in my eyes of just like this guy, he's super gr he's the storm cloud and I'm the rainbow and we're just balancing each other out. He's very like cynical and I'm very optimistic. Like I just thought that he and I weighed each other out and he would roast me and then I would cry. And it, no, I'm just kidding. But I really liked our dynamic. He's incredibly smart. Like people don't realize how big of a role he played in like the flow of the game, but he played a factor and he did a good job navigating. He wanted to play this undercover like Nicole Franzel game where, you know, people are underestimating him. And I think that that speaks to his confidence as a person. He's comfortable with people looking at him and saying he can't win. And that's like, that takes real strength because to hear that about yourself in any circumstances would hurt, but on your favorite show, that could drive anyone crazy, but he took it on the chin. He and I's like dynamic of like both him saying I'm terrible at the game and in my head I'm like I'm way better than you, dude. All right, you have no idea. But yeah, we were just that's my buddy. I love him so much. He's so smart. I think that yeah, I love that guy so much. I can't say enough compliments about him. He's a wonderful human being. And I want to spend the rest of my life uplifting that guy. He's great.
When he went home, did you think that that was going to happen, or were you completely blindsided? Because like
I was
obviously you were very like upset, but like did you really think chemo was going that week?
Yes, like 12,000%. He had been tanking his game like socially, like people were annoyed with him, which to me as like a strategy like guy, I see that and I'm like, this is great because we have this power three that is very obviously going to move mountains for each other. They flipped on a majority alliance, like all this stuff. And so to me, it made way too much logical sense. I didn't have enough time because the one-on-ones were started at 2 in the morning the day before the renom ceremony. Love that for me. And so when he's on the block, I'm talking to people and people are agreeing that like, okay, Quinn, we're not going to send him home. We got you. Leah and I, the night before, very, I thought with like I thought we handled it perfectly. The night before, we like very casually defended his honor. We were like, I mean, like, he's not really a threat. He's not like whatever, I don't know. And then the day of the eviction is when we like put our foot on the gas and we're providing strategic reasons of why he needs to stay. And everyone agreed. It just so happens that Kimo gives a speech that changes the like everything. And so I understand that like people like that was a demerit on my game. And I will always be disappointed that I took jury from Joseph. That like my tears were genuine because I knew how much the game meant to him and I knew how badly I fumbled. Like that was my massive blunder. But like, how am I supposed to predict that?
Yeah,
How's anyone
no,
supposed to predict that?
absolutely. And that was like, I don't know if it's the first time ever, but like, you very rarely see people be like, that speech really moved me. Like, Kimo, it caught me off guard too. Like, I was afraid that Joseph was going home because I really didn't want him to. And I was like, with my luck, the last thing I want will happen. But it was very surprising when it happened. And that's how are you to know? And again, the three nominees really like screwed you over because it's like at some point, like in a regular season, Cedric would have never like been nominated. Joseph would have never been nominated. Like it's unfortunate, but I feel like circumstance screwed you over more than like I feel like you would have done really, really well. Not that, like you did well, but I feel like you would have done even better without like the AI arena stuff.
I think so too. And like, I mean, it just sucks, but also I benefited from my cast very heavily. You know, if I'm on Big Brother 21, I'm getting sent home the second I set foot in there. Like they would look at a dweeb like me and not respect me at all as a person. And they would have sent me home. So like, I'm very thankful that I got surrounded by people with such big hearts. It just sucks that the format worked against me. And you know what? It's spiz what it's spiz. I have to live my life with that. And I'm not too mad at production. I don't really care. Like I got the greatest experience of my life as a result of being a part of CBS's Big Brother. So I can't complain. But yeah, Joseph going home was truly the most, it felt like he died. And I thought that I could hold it together. I was like crying. But when I got into the pedal room, and I like had a moment to just sit down and like Leo's right there. That's probably the hardest I've like ever cried in my life. I was so incredibly sad to see him go. It was soul crushing, genuinely. Like, oh my goodness. Like, not even on a game level. Like, I was like, I can bounce back from this. Like, everything else has like sucked for me strategically. And so I was like, oh no, another blunder. Oh no. But just the fact that he wasn't there as a result of like my misplaced trust. Oh my gosh. Devastating. Poor baby.
What comp besides the slip and slide would you have wanted to play that you didn't get to play?
I really wanted to do, and I was convinced that after Chelsea's week, this was going to be the HOH. It's like the one where you hold on to the thing and
The
you're getting.
spinning, the disc, yeah.
And you're like getting smacked into stuff. I thought that that would be so much fun. I like know for a fact I would have won like BB Comics. That was something that I really wanted to play just because I'm someone who I make art, you know, I'm an artistic artsy fartsy guy. And so to me, there's a logic of these paintings of like whichever comic book cover looks cooler or makes more sense as an artistic project, that's probably the correct one. Now I just need to know the order. And I think that I'm quick enough that I could have outpaced everyone else. So those are the two competitions that I was dying for the chance to play.
The wall comp, I feel like, has gotten like harder. Like it used to be like an endurance comp, and now it lasts like 30 minutes. Like, was that very like what was it like playing in the wall comp?
Playing in the wall comp was not at all what I wanted it to be. It's what I expected because I had seen Big Brother 25, and a player like America should win the wall every single time she steps up. She has like, you know, we saw it in the pressure cooker. She's determined. She has like the ability to handle uncomfortable situations and endure. Like she's just a strong person. On top of that, she's very fit. And then you watch her and she's holding on to the grip like this. That's not fair. And so it's not what I wanted at all. I wanted it to be a declaration of like, who has the most courage? Like, let's stay up here for 8 hours. I like that's, you know, spray us with cold water. I'm fine with that element of the game. Spray us with goo. That's okay. But it was the fact that like the grips were massive in my hands. It was the fact that like, you know, it used to be a bar for some seasons. Like there's a bar and you like latch your arms and then it's just like, how bad do you want it? That to me is like the best kind of TV, specifically on Big Brother, when you can watch the live feeds. Like, that's exciting. I tuned in for the pressure cooker and I had like Rob Has a Podcast up and they had all their special guests, like all that stuff. That's the most exciting version of TV, getting to watch them compete in real time. And so I wanted it to be a test of who wants it more. It was really frustrating that you can't crouch anymore. James Hewling from Wichita Falls, Texas, 45 minutes away from me. Like, he got to crouch. I wanted to crouch. That's not an option anymore. Like, it was so much fun, and it's way more difficult than you could ever imagine. That second tilt is crazy. And it, like, a lot of my rock climbing logic went into work where I am getting on my tippy toes to create tension so that I am sticking to the wall. I wore different shoes because if you don't know, they provide you with shoes for these competitions. And this is my logic for the whole season. They provide you with running shoes, which, what are we doing that requires this much lift on your shoes? Absolutely not. So I wore all my soccer indoor like shoes. And I think that that gave me an advantage on the wall where it's like less things. I think my hair gave me an advantage because I was able to wipe the goo off in the back. It was so much fun, and it felt like, it really did feel like I was a fourth grader watching myself. Like, I felt like a little kid up there just because it was like, oh my gosh, I've always said I wanted to do this. This has always been the competition that I thought that I would do well in. And it was the greatest experience, but I was disappointed it wasn't a traditional wall. Those are kind of my thoughts on it. It was so much fun though.
It was... oh my God, it was like you couldn't script it better. You and Tucker left on, and then they cut the feeds and then it came back to you guys after. Like, we didn't see you fall. It just came back after it had ended. And we were like trying to figure out who won based off of how people were. But like that, and we didn't get to watch the HOH that Leah won that lasted overnight. We didn't get to watch that on feeds. And I was so... like upset about that because I'm like, the one endurance comp we got on feeds lasted like 30 minutes.
Yeah.
But Janky World, it came back and they were outside and we didn't know anything about Janky and it was like everybody's outside. But were you disappointed when you heard that they were living outside for a week? Because I know you really wanted to do like Dire Fest.
I was crushed. That's my controversial Big Brother opinion. I was like, Dire Fest is, despite the outcome, this is like my tweet, bar for bar. I was like, despite the outcome, Dire Fest was a great idea. And I was so unbelievably pissed that I didn't get to do that. Oh my gosh, I was so sad. I can give you like the second exclusive with like the wall. Firstly, narratively, oh, we have 10 minutes. Okay, I'll be quick. And then, so narratively, Tucker and I are on opposite ends of the wall, by the way. Crazy.
I know,
and
yeah.
I like, just as like a PSA, you know, to anyone, going into that comp, there was like some real world like trauma, you know. I had someone toxic in my life, pretty much talking negatively about my body, saying, because I said that I would win that competition. This is the quick version. I would win that competition. He's like, why? And I'm like, it favors like women and skinny guys. And then he's like, you think you're skinny, whatever. And you know, I have body dysmorphia issues. I'm an athlete. Like, you know, you look at your body through a very specific lens and it's not what you always want, especially post-college. And so I told that dude when it happened, you'll see. And so when I lost, that's why I was so upset. You know, I was disappointed with the situation. I knew I wanted it so badly. I'd only considered what would happen if I win. I never thought about what it would be like to lose. So that was like my emotional response there. Just, and so for anyone watching this, if anyone in your life is echoing the negative thoughts that you think about yourself, you should cut them from your lives. People around you should be uplifting you and never making you feel worse. And so If there's anyone in your life doing that, hit them with your car. Metaphorically.
Or actually, who cares? No, I'm kidding.
Physically, hit them with your car. Yeah, those are my thoughts. I was very disappointed, though, that I didn't get to do the Janky World outside business, because I think I would have been thriving. I would have had such a good time suffering. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I don't want to keep you, especially because we only have like 8 minutes left. But I was going to say, do you have any questions for me? I don't know what questions you would have for me. But if you ever want to come back on the podcast for like a recap episode or something, maybe next year, I don't know.
I don't know what show I'll watch that then we can revisit, but I would absolutely be down to be on your podcast again.
Maybe I should watch Survivor. Or you could pick a show. Right now,
maybe we'll watch Traitors or something.
Oh yeah. Right now I'm covering Bachelor Pad, which is like a Bachelor spinoff show from 2010. It's like they're competing for money, which is so fun.
That's pretty
like,
cool.
It's like kind of like a Big Brother version of The Bachelor. Because they're like, they're trying to find love, but they're also trying to win money. So it's so fun. I'm really enjoying that. But if you want to listen, if not, you don't have to.
I'll tune in.
But yeah, thank you so much for coming on. It really does mean a lot.
I'm happy to do it.
Friends here.
Oh my gosh. Sweet baby. What a sweet girl. Oh my gosh.
I know. She hasn't left my lap at once. She sensed that her namesake was here.
She's like, mama, cigarette. She just knew. That's so awesome. Do you have any other questions for me? Do not feel pressured. I'm telling you, I'm an unemployed bum. I can answer any questions you have. We can start up another Zoom meeting. It's not an inconvenience at all.
No, I don't think I have any. We talked about a lot, and I think I covered everything that I wanted to ask you. And I do just really appreciate you taking the time, because I really love this podcast. I just don't know how to like expand it. And it means a lot for anybody who like you have a platform that I don't have, like willing to, you're doing community service, Quinn. It means so much.
Yeah, I'm clocking in here. I absolutely want to uplift people as much as possible. And so definitely send me the link to this so that I can share it once it's posted. Like, I want to do everything I can to make sure that you are successful and stuff like that. That's very important to me.
I'll let you know when it's going live, and I will be on time, unlike those losers at Rob Hasselbaum.
Yeah, those dorks, those nerds.
I'm kidding. Thank you so much, Quinn.
Oh, goodness. Thank you so much for everything, Emmy. I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.